KJAN Sports.
Time for a look at sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. High school volleyball postseason play underway last night for 3A and 4A schools. A Class 3A first round regional play. It was Kemper Catholic defeating Atlantic in three straight games. 25-14, 25-15, and 25-2 were the game scores as Kemper Catholic moves on in the tourney. Red Oak advances with a three-game sweep over Clark. Clarinda beats Shenandoah three in a row, and Greene County top West Central Valley three straight in 3A. In Class 4A, Carroll beat Denison 3-1, while Creston disposed of Glenwood 3-0 to advance. Tonight, regional volleyball play continues in the smaller classes with second-round action. In Class 1A tonight, Booyer Valley will play Woodbine. That's at Dunlap tonight. At Griswold, the Tigers will face Essex. At Guthrie Center, it'll be Guthrie Center facing Coon Rapids Baird. At Lenox tonight, East Union will play Orient Maxburg. At Martinsdale, Adair Casey facing off against Martinsdale St. Mary's. At Stanton, Stanton will play Bedford. While at Tabor, Fremont Mills will face Sydney. Those are 7 o'clock matches tonight with the winners advancing. In Class 2A play tonight at Corning, Southwest Valley will host Mount Air. In Council Bluffs, St. Albert will play Missouri Valley. At Mapleton tonight, Maple Valley Anthonoto will face IKM Manning. At Trainer this evening, it's Tri-Center versus Trainer. And at Underwood, Underwood will host Audubon. Those are 7 o'clock matches as well. The winners will move on in the postseason. Well, the Associated Press released its final top 10 rankings in each of the classes for high school football this season late yesterday afternoon. Here's a look. In Class 4A, West Des Moines Dowling Catholic is the unanimous pick for the top spot in the final poll, with Pleasant Valley, Ames, Cedar Rapids, Xavier, and Waukee the top five. West Des Moines Valley, Iowa City West, Davenport Assumption, Urbandale, and Bettendorf round out the final top 10. In Class 3A, Bishop Heelan Catholic is the unanimous number one selection in the final poll, with Decorah, Pella, Clear Lake, and Harlan the top five. Washington, Solon, Carroll, Dallas Center Grimes, and Webster City round out the rest of the top 10. In Class 2A, Kemper Catholic is the unanimous pick for number one in the final poll. They're followed by Albia, New Hampton, Mediapolis, and Boyden Hall Rock Valley at number five. Waukon, Spirit Lake, West Marshall, Sioux Center, and North Polk round out the final top 10. In Class 1A, Iowa City Regina is the unanimous number one selection, with Dyke New Hartford at number two this week. St. Albert drops a spot as they're in at number three in this week's poll. St. Edmund, Maquoketa Valley, the top five, followed by Wilton, Van Meter, North Fayette, South O'Brien, and Ogden. The Class A poll, final one of the season, has West Lyon on top with BGM and Wapsie Valley tied for number two. AHST is up a spot. They're in at number four in the final poll. Hinton, Algona Garrigan, Gladbrook Rhinebeck, Lisbon, AGWSR, and Pekin round out the top 10. And in the eight-man poll, the final one of the season, there's a tie at the top as Exira EHK tied with Don Bosco for the number one spot in the final poll. Each has 119 voting points. That's how they tied for the top spot. Exira EHK does have one more first place vote. They got six. Don Bosco picked up five. Newell Fonda is ranked third in the final poll with Adair Casey at number four in the last poll of the season. Springville, Janesville, MMC, West Bend Mallard, Glidden Ralston, and River Valley round out the final eight-man poll of the season. Iowa State football coach Paul Rhodes says a big part of their 0-4 start in the Big 12 race is the competition. Cyclones suffered their second straight blowout loss on Saturday with a 58-27 loss to Oklahoma State.
The last four teams we played are 15-2 in the Big 12 conference, so we bit off quite a bit to start the season in the conference. Four of the top five teams in our league we've played in our first four games. We'll keep trying to heal up, prepare better, execute better, and see what we can't get out of these final 5 weeks.
Cyclones have given up 129 points in the last two games, and Rhodes says the defense needs to prevent the up-tempo offenses in the Big 12 from getting momentum.
Defensively, you get them out of rhythm, you stop them by the first series in the possession, first plays in the possession. You allow them to get a first down, you really allow their tempo to show up.
Iowa State visits Kansas State this weekend. The Wildcats are 3-4 overall and posted their first league victory with a 35-12 win over West Virginia.
We're making progress, I think. It's just not anything that's that's overwhelming. Just gradual progress throughout the course of the year, being able to identify, what issues we've really had and be able to, correct those issues or improve in those areas where we've had some weaknesses. And I think our coaches and our players have done that.
That's K-State coach Bill Snyder, who says the Wildcat defense is making progress.
We've begun to eliminate some of the things that get us into problems, giving up big plays. We gave up a couple of big plays in this ball game, and no one ever likes that, but, you know, at least the numbers are coming down. There's a reduction in that.
Iowa State is 1-6 overall coming into Saturday's matchup with Kansas State. The Kansas City Chiefs cherish every victory. After all, they only had two all of last season. So while the entire city is abuzz about their 8-0 start and the fact that they lead the rival Denver Broncos in the suddenly stacked AFC West, the Chiefs remain humble to the point where it was hard to tell in Sunday's post-game locker room that they had just defeated the Browns. Safety Eric Berry said the reason for the humility is the fact that last season taught the Chiefs just how difficult it is to win. It's hard to do in the NFL, so just ask Tampa Bay and Jacksonville. They haven't won at all so far this season. Well, it was a rather rough night for St. Louis sports fans. Not far from the World Series, the Rams allowed Russell Wilson to throw a pair of touchdown passes to Golden Tate as the Seattle Seahawks downed St. Louis 14-9. The Seahawks led just 7-6 until Tate turned an acrobatic catch into an 80-yard touchdown with 3:45 left in the third quarter. Zach Stacy had 133 yards on 24 carries for the Rams, but Kellen Clemens was just 15 of 31 for 158 yards and two interceptions in his first start since St. Louis quarterback Sam Bradford suffered a season-ending knee injury. The 7-1 Seahawks lead the NFC West by a game over San Francisco, while the Rams fell into the division's cellar with a mark of 3-5. Elsewhere around the NFL, Browns speedy return specialist Travis Benjamin tore a knee ligament Sunday and will miss the rest of the season. Benjamin suffered a torn ACL in the 23-17 loss to undefeated Kansas City. Browns coach Rob Chudzinski said Benjamin, one of the league's top punt returners, twisted his knee while planting on a return in the third quarter and will need surgery. The second-year wide receiver has been a major playmaker for the Browns. Benjamin returned a punt 79 yards for a touchdown on October 3rd, and his 86-yard kickoff return set up a TD for the Browns on October 20th against Green Bay. Benjamin set a team record with 179 yards in returns against the Bills. The Washington Redskins say Robert Griffin III's left knee is fine, but a little sore after he was injured in the second half of Sunday's loss at Denver. Head coach Mike Shanahan says Griffin should practice as scheduled Wednesday when the Redskins begin on-the-field preparations for the San Diego Chargers. Case Keenum will start at quarterback in place of a healthy Matt Schaub when the Texans host division foe Indianapolis Sunday night. Coach Gary Kubiak says he decided before the bye weekend to give Keenum a second straight start as the Texans try to end a five-game losing streak. Oakland Raiders defensive coordinator Jason Tarver could be facing a fine from the NFL for an obscene gesture directed at the officials during Sunday's win over the Steelers. Tarver was caught on television using the one-finger gesture toward the officials after a flag was thrown on cornerback Mike Jenkins for a hit to the head of Pittsburgh running back Le'Veon Bell. Carolina Panthers free safety Mike Mitchell says he's being targeted by NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell after receiving his fifth fine of the season from the league office. Mitchell was fined $7,875 last week for taunting after he shoved Rams quarterback Sam Bradford out of bounds during a game on October 20th. That was a play in which Bradford suffered a season-ending knee injury. Mitchell wasn't penalized on the play for the hit or for taunting and says he only got fined because a big-name quarterback was involved. Tampa Bay Buccaneers receiver Mike Williams will miss the remainder of the season with a hamstring injury that slowed him over the past 5 weeks. The fourth-year pro, who signed a six-year, $40.25 million contract in July, had 22 receptions for 216 yards and two touchdowns in six games. The Baltimore Ravens have signed former Bengals running back Bernard Scott, whose four-year NFL career was interrupted last season by a torn ACL. Scott began the 2013 season on the physically unable to perform list and was released on September 17th after Cincinnati opted for Giovanni Bernard as its starting running back. Well, John Lester was superb once again as the Boston Red Sox took a 3-2 lead in the World Series last night. Lester pitched into the eighth inning for the second time in the Fall Classic as the Bo Sox knocked off St. Louis 3-1 in Game 5. The lefty held the Cardinals to a run and four hits while striking out 7-7 2/3 innings. Lester pitched shutout ball over 7 2/3 to help the Red Sox win in the series opener. The Cardinals hang tough with Boston for the first six innings as Matt Holliday tied the game with his second solo homer of the series, a blast to left center in the fourth. The Bo Sox regained the lead with a two-run seventh as David Ross doubled home the tie-breaking run before Jacoby Ellsbury added an RBI single. Red Sox first baseman David Ortiz is Lester's chief competition for series MVP honors so far. Ortiz doubled home Boston's first run of the night and finished 3-for-4 for the second consecutive game. He's hitting .733 with a pair of two-run homers and six RBIs in the series. And remember, he could have had four more with another homer as he was robbed by Carlos Beltran of a grand slam earlier in the series. Card starter and loser Adam Wainwright struck out 10 over 7 innings but also surrendered 3 runs and 8 hits. The Red Sox can wrap up their third World Series title in 10 seasons when they host the Redbirds Wednesday night. Boston hasn't clinched a World Series title at home since 1918. That was when a guy named Babe Ruth pitched the Red Sox to 2 of their 4 victories. John Lackey will take the mound for Boston against Michael Wacha, who was the winning pitcher in game number 2. In the National Hockey League last night, Dallas beat Buffalo 4-3, Pittsburgh over Carolina 3-1, Montreal blanked the New York Rangers 2-0, Chicago beat Minnesota 5-1, Vancouver got by Washington 3-2. And in golf news, the LPGA Tour is waiving its age requirement to let 16-year-old Lydia Ko become a member. Ko was 15 when she became the youngest winner of an LPGA event last year at the Canadian Women's Open. She defended her title in Canada this year. Born in South Korea and raised in New Zealand, Ko will join the tour for the start of the 2014 season. She petitioned the LPGA Tour to waive its requirement that members be at least 18. Ko says it's been her dream to play the LPGA Tour and that she hopes to inspire other girls to take up golf. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.